With the postseason on the horizon, the pressure is on in the NBA and NHL, while the stakes are raised as the Jimmy Mangos versus George Fidel race approaches. This is the Sports Radio Jax. Welcome to a special playoff preview edition of the Jax. Coming up over the next hour, the NHL playoffs, the NBA playoffs, head shaving, sisters, Charles Schwartzel, and Manny Ramirez. As always, you can listen to us live at centennialondemand.com/centennial-internet-radio, or you can download the podcast by clicking on Centennial Internet Radio. You can also hit us up on Twitter at SportsJax. I'm Josh Lewinberg. To my left, Aaron Karolnik. And to my right, as always, Jimmy Mangos.
What's up?
How's it going, guys?
Good. I noticed you said Charles Schwartzel. No, it's not. It wasn't the LPGA Masters. You know, Charles.
I'm pretty sure I said Charles.
I don't know. We'll have to go back and listen to that later. It sounded a little Cheryl-ish.
Maybe it's Carl.
It could be Carl. There's a big debate amongst golf fans how to pronounce his name. We needed a definitive answer immediately or otherwise.
He's got a big mouth. He looks like a horse, that guy, eh?
Charles?
Yeah.
Charles? Charles?
Whatever
Carl?
His name is.
Tiger Woods just couldn't have won and made things easy for us. We know how to pronounce Tiger.
It's true. Well, Tiger's close. It's good to see him back in the hunt anyways.
Indeed. So last week, we previewed a race on this show, and there's been so much buzz ever since that day that we previewed said race that I thought maybe we'd bring it back a little bit and discuss this a little bit further, maybe look at some other angles of the George v. Jimmy race. How does that sound?
It sounds awesome. I don't think I've been as excited for anything, maybe since my bar mitzvah. It's a very exciting day. But this race on May 12th, certainly.
And you might make some money from this, too, in addition to your bar mitzvah funds.
Yeah, well, hopefully my bet on George comes to fruition. I could really use that $10. So let's
hope
it happens.
Big money over there, huh?
Yeah, big better.
Big spender.
I don't go to Niagara Falls, Jimmy, like you, and
lose $500?
And lose $500 in the blackjack.
Is that how much you lost?
Oh, yeah. I go big or go home, and obviously I went home.
Yeah,
I'm going to Niagara for my birthday coming up in like 2 weeks, so if I don't come back, avenge my death.
I tell you, man, the casino makes you humble. Ugh, I was just so like upset after that day. I just couldn't think straight after. I went home, I cried a bit, and that was that.
Hopefully he's not too discouraged, because in 29 days, Jimmy Mangos will race George Fidel. We talked about this last week, as I said. We talked about maybe potentially adding in some stakes, and we'll discuss that later as well. And it's a 100-meter race, and they're both very excited about it, I'm sure. And I'm actually going to take us back to last week for a second, and we're going to listen to something that I've compiled together. I call it the Jimmy Mangos Trash Talk Montage.
In this case, I do choose to run, and I will choose to win. Listen. I weigh 165 pounds. George is like, what, 220? Can you picture a guy at that size or weight beat a guy like me?
Over the last 365 days, how many times approximately you would say you've been to the gym? George Fidel answered 208 times.
208 times. Very specific.
Really? I thought it was more than that.
208 times. Okay. Jimmy Mangos answered to the same question 40 times.
It's a blatant lie, Jimmy. You have never been to the gym before.
I swear, last winter I went a lot. The thing is, you don't need to work out for a 10-second sprint. It's either you have it or you don't. Which in this case, I have it. George doesn't have it. Have they seen me run before? Have they seen me play any sports? They look at George. Oh, George is a big guy. He's going to win. It's as simple as that. No, that's baloney. I just want to tell George that, George, there's no chance. Even a prayer can't help you for this race.
Joining us live in studio, George Fidel.
Thank you, boys. It's awesome to be back.
Welcome back, actually. George has been here before. did a great job with our baseball preview, and now he's back to discuss something near and dear to his heart.
For a very different reason. We're not talking Jays anymore, are we?
Certainly not. So what do you think about all that that our boy Jimmy Mangos had to say last week?
Well, there seems to be a lot of talk, boys, when I'm not present, and I've been hearing a lot of things, you know, and Jimmy's been running his mouth a lot, and he's got a couple of his boys running their mouths too, but you know what, guys? It's just feeding me, you know? I'm loving it, because it's making me want to work harder. It's making me want to beat Jimmy more.
George, you talk about working harder. Will you tell us a little bit about how maybe you've changed your workout regimen since agreeing to the race with Jimmy?
Sure. I mean, anyone who knows me knows that I'm in the gym minimum 4 or 5 days a week. And I like to lift heavy. I like to lift hard. You know what I mean? In the last 2-3 weeks, I've been going lighter. I've been doing a lot more sprinting, jogging. You know, I've been cleaning up the diet, you know, a lot. You know, a lot less fat, a lot less carbs. You know, it's been doing wonders, actually.
I said this yesterday, actually. All I've seen him eat over the last 2 weeks, yogurt, vegetables, and boring-looking chicken. I feel bad almost, but he's doing what he's got to do, right?
Yeah, he's looking good. He's looking a little svelte.
Well, guys, you know what? To me, it isn't work. I truly enjoy it. I truly love it. You know, even that boring chicken to you tastes wonderful to me. You know, it's just become part of that lifestyle.
Would you say it tastes like victory, George?
It does, actually. George, it's like victory and pride.
George, tell us a little bit about Graziella's reaction to hearing about the race and the stipulations.
Well, let's talk about this, actually, because the stipulations were not mentioned when we discussed the race.
Okay, that's actually a great segue.
This is new information here. So last week, we were asking Jimmy whether or not he feels that it's appropriate to add some additional stakes to the race. He obviously said that it's necessary for added motivation, but the question at that point became, what are they going to be racing for? Shall we share what the
I think the time is now. I think the time is now. You want to share, or shall I share?
Why don't we split this? Okay, so if Jimmy wins, sorry, we'll start with George. If George wins, George gets to shave Jimmy's head directly after the race.
Bald, I might add.
Bald.
Like Mr. Clean.
And then Jimmy has to call George Mr. Fidel.
Or Sir.
Or Sir for the remainder of the year. And we'll discuss a penalty maybe if he breaks those rules later as well.
Face slaps tossed around as a penalty for not calling him that.
And then if Jimmy wins, Aaron.
If Jimmy is victorious in the race, he will be taking out George's younger sister, Graziella Fidel.
The lovely Graziella Fidel.
Lovely Graziella Fidel on a date. Where do you think, what's a good location for this date, you think?
I don't know, Jimmy. We'll welcome you back into the conversation here.
Glad to be back here.
So what's like your go-to restaurant? Paradiso, perhaps? Or?
I don't know. It's a little too expensive.
I don't know about that.
No expense can be spared here, Jimmy.
I don't know. I have to kind of brainstorm about this. Maybe something, you know, casual, just to get to know each other.
Like, don't tell me like McDonald's or Harvey's like that.
But within 5 minutes, she'll fall in love with me, so it doesn't matter where I take her.
You're confident about that, but are you confident about the race?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident. I've seen George. He's a big guy. To win a race, you pretty have to be light like me, kind of. You got to be around 160.
A delicate flower like
160 to 180, around there. George is like 220. So,
What did you say your waist size was again, George?
Yeah, George.
Boys, to be honest, I'm 210 with a 32 waist. So,
Jimmy, are you buying that?
I don't believe that. I'm a 32 waist. How can he be a 32 waist?
I'll prove it to you.
Let me see your
anytime,
jeans.
Anytime.
Take off your pants.
Anytime. Whoa. Let's all just leave on our pants.
Please.
I don't want this to be a repeat of the Greg Hood show.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, things are getting personal here, guys. You know what?
Yeah, we're so close to each other right now.
So Jimmy, George talked about altering his workout regimen for the race. Is there anything you plan to do in preparation?
You know what? George can work out all he wants. I'm not going to move a muscle, and I'm still going to win the race. This is slapping the face of George. He's going to see it. I haven't done nothing. I haven't done jack shit, but I'm still going to beat this guy.
See, guys, that's the difference here. I don't train just for the sake of training. That's become part of my lifestyle. You know, Jimmy's going to talk and talk and talk, but rumor has it that Jimmy ran 2 sprints this past week and almost died after sprint number 2. He was coughing up blood. All right, so...
I'm sure I wasn't coughing up blood.
I don't think Jimmy's in the greatest shape here.
All it takes is heart and courage and determination.
The eye of the tiger?
And you have neither one of those things.
Oh, I have it. Once I see a picture of your sister, I'll have it even more.
Oh, wow. She is lovely, I gotta say.
I'm just joking. She's a nice girl.
She's a very sweet girl. Hi, Graziella.
If you're listening, Graziella, thank you for agreeing to do this. You've added some extra motivation and some extra attention to a race that was already epic in nature.
And who knows, you might find a life partner in Jimmy Mango, so that's also possible, right?
You never know.
That's a very big if, boys.
You might be my brother-in-law someday.
Oh, how I look forward to that day.
I cringe at that thought.
Now, George, there's a lot on the line for you at this point, for your family at this point. It's a lot of added pressure to the race. Do you think you can rise above that pressure? Is there a chance that might distract you going forward?
Well, there's not just the pressure based on, you know, my sister being part of this race now. There's the added pressure that, you know, most people think that I am going to win. So can you imagine if something horrible happens, like, you know, I sprain my ankle, or I pull a hamstring or a quad or something, or a groin? It'd be a disaster. And to actually lose after, you know, all these people have been backing, even with Jimmy's trash talk, I don't think Jimmy thinks that he can actually win. I do not believe it for a second. So, you know what? The pressure is on me to actually win.
The beauty of sports. Anything can happen.
Anything can happen. Very true. Very true.
No excuses, right, George?
Never. Never. I don't. But guys, let's be honest here. As soon as Jimmy does lose, what's he going to start saying? Oh, I never trained for this. You were training every day of the week. You were, you know, dieting. You were lifting. You were out sprinting. The excuses are going to come already.
No,
I see
it. I'll be a man of my word. I'll shake your hand, maybe.
Maybe.
Call him Mr. Fidel, of course.
I don't know about that. That's too much.
No, whoa. We agreed. Everyone agreed on these terms, did we not?
Not for until December. Of course.
Of course, Jimmy. December it is.
Right, we'll see.
And the head shaving, that you're okay with that, right? Because there was some controversy yesterday that maybe you might be reneging from a deal that was made.
No, I don't mind shaving my head. I thought it was going to be till number one.
No. Number
not
one.
Skin.
Dude,
oh, skin.
Dude, the summer is coming up. It's going to be nice outside.
I don't want to get scars on my head, you know, scratches, zits on my head. I look like a cancer patient, for God's sakes.
Jimmy, I promise to do a very good job.
He'll be gentle.
I'll be gentle.
Think about that. Hair grows back anyways.
Jimmy, so. I have some good news. I was speaking to the janitor earlier today, and she said she likes guys with shaved heads, so really? It might be a
maybe I could dip my bald head in oil and rub it all over her body.
We could propose that idea to her.
Guys, picture this, okay? May 12th arrives after I beat Jimmy. In front of everybody, we will sit Jimmy down. I will shave Jimmy's head. I will bust out the Gillette foam and the Mach 3 razor. And Jimmy will be the most beautiful looking guy that we've ever seen with that shiny glow on his head. What do you think about that, Jimmy?
I think it's bogus because you're not going to win, first of all. And I hope your sister's there that day. Is she going
to
be there that day?
You should bring her in that day.
Graziella needs to be there.
For a couple reasons.
I need some motivation.
First of all, the motivation factor is huge. Second of all, we actually might be making a move to Thursdays instead of Wednesdays coming up. And, of course, the race is on a Thursday, which would be our first show on said day. So it looks like we might be in studio directly after this race, which would be fantastic, regardless of whether Jimmy is here as a bald man or Jimmy is here with his lovely new girlfriend. We would love to host you guys after the show or after the race.
I can see if she's available.
I like the sound of that, Josh.
Which one, the bald man or the lovely new girlfriend?
I just think it's going to be great, guys, when everyone comes around Jimmy and rubs that bald head of his throughout the entire month of May.
Nobody can touch my head, okay? Nobody's allowed to touch my head right now, so.
Have you ever gone with a shaved head before, Jimmy, or is this a new territory?
No, I
haven't,
yeah. A couple years ago, I shaved my head. Not to the skin, but.
I didn't think so.
So this could be a new experience for you.
Yeah, it's okay. It's hair. It grows back. If I lose.
Race is coming up on May 12th. There'll be plenty of coverage online. You'll probably be able to watch the race via the
Ustream,
simulcast
perhaps?
Podcast as well.
It's going to be on the Score, TSN, Sportsnet, they're all covering it. So.
It is actually going to be filmed, boys, so I want this memory forever of beating Jimmy Mangos.
Show it to your grandchildren.
I will show it to my grandchildren, and Jimmy might show it to his too, because he's going to feel that pain for years. And when they ask him, when a little Jimmy Jr. asks him, Grandpa, why are you so sad? He will say, Jimmy Jr., one day back on May 12th, 2011, I was beaten by a better man.
Jimmy, closing words before we say goodbye to George?
The way he looks at me, it looks like he's falling in love with me, but...
he's very passionate about this.
Yeah, he's smiling, he's giggling, but George, don't worry. By May 12th, I'll have your sister out on that following Friday, and by then, you'll hear about my name every day. And maybe she'll change her name to my last name, too. What do you think about that, George?
Grazie alla mangoes. Has a good ring to it to me.
On that note, George, thank you for joining us once
again. Thank you, boys. Pleasure as always.
We look forward to the race, and we look forward to having you on after the race, win or lose, or tie.
There's not going to be a tie, trust me. I will defeat Jimmy Mangoes.
Thanks, George. Moving on, shall we? Should we talk about some sports?
Sports, yeah.
Well, the race is a sport in nature, I guess.
It's pretty much the dominant theme in Toronto sports these days, the race. So, well, it's appropriate to discuss it.
The Leafs are not in the playoffs as expected, so the race might actually be number one on most people's list.
Should be. It's going to be an epic day for all.
Let's talk about some teams that did qualify for the NHL playoffs, shall we? Which series are you most looking forward to, Arne?
The series I'm most looking forward to is the Philadelphia-Buffalo series for a few reasons, actually. One, I think Buffalo has a very real chance of upsetting Philadelphia, especially if Chris Pronger is unable to play. He's a linchpin on their defense and makes a huge difference for Philly all throughout the squad. Obviously, Philly is very deep up front, but they also have questions in net with Sergei Bobrovsky or Brian Boucher or maybe Michael Layton coming back to reclaim the net mining position. And Buffalo finished the season very strong. Philly finished the season very weak. So it's going to be really interesting to see how it shakes out there.
Popular upset pick because Buffalo, as you said, very hot down the stretch, 16-4-4 in their final 24 games. Philly went 7-7-6. So would you say that we're going to see an upset here with Buffalo defeating Philadelphia?
It all hinges on Chris Pronger's health. I think his presence makes as big a difference for any team as it does for Philly. And if he's not in the lineup, Philly's going to have some real problems containing Buffalo. But I'd still say I do feel that Pronger's going to return sometime in the series. I'll call maybe Philly in 6 or 7 games.
I actually have Philly in 6 as well. Philadelphia made it to the finals, obviously, as we know, last year as a 7th seed. And they finished the season last year 5-10.
Yep.
So I believe that this team has enough talent to turn it on. Offensively, they're fantastic, and it's certainly not new seeing Philadelphia go into the playoffs with a goalie that kind of sparked some controversy as far as having little confidence in what he has accomplished already in the NHL.
Yeah, absolutely. Bobrovsky's a guy who has been splitting time with Brian Boucher for the majority of the year. So that is ups and downs, but it was pretty apparent for the latter half of the year that they were going to go with Bobrovsky in the playoffs, and they are starting him in game one. So, but that being said, I think he has a short leash, and it wouldn't be surprising at all to see Brian Boucher in game two.
There's a huge mismatch in net in the Buffalo-Philadelphia series. Another huge mismatch in the goaltender situation would be with Washington-New York Rangers. Do you agree?
Yeah, of course. Henrik Lundqvist has been amazing this year. Led the NHL with 11 shutouts. Was a candidate for the Vezina Trophy, although I don't think he was one of the three nominees. But he was certainly right there for most of the year. And he's definitely capable of stealing some games. Washington is not the same offensive juggernaut as they were in the past. The Rangers, although they lost Ryan Callahan to a broken ankle, still have a decent amount of scoring up front, even though Marian Gaborik has had a down season. So I think it's going to be a close series as well.
Michael Neuvirth is scheduled to start Game 1. Is that the right call, or should they be going with Varlamov or Holtby?
I think the choice was made for them with Neuvirth. He started all their games down the stretch, for the most part, with Varlamov being injured and Holtby being in the minors. So, and Neuvirth was 9-3 down in the last 12 games, so it was pretty a simple decision for Bruce Boudreau to start Neuvirth. But then again, just like Philly, I wouldn't be surprising at all to see Varlamov in during the series as well.
The performance of all three have been very close all season. Actually, Varlamov and Holtby have a better goals against average than Neuvirth on the season, but of course that's in a smaller sample as well. And the ages of these three are interesting as well. 23-year-old Neuvirth, 22-year-old Varlamov, and 21-year-old Holtby. We've seen Washington go defensive this year. We've seen them change their game from a prolific scoring team that averaged, 3.82 goals last year down to 2.67. Is this new mindset that they have as a defensive club going to work for them in the playoffs?
Well, we're certainly going to see starting as early as tonight. And really, I'm not even sure they have enough scoring. This is a team that Alexander Ovechkin and Nick Backstrom were well over 100 points last year, and neither of which came close to eclipsing that mark. Backstrom was 40 points less than last year. Guys like Mike Green, who had 24 points last year after recording 70-plus in the previous 2 years, and Alexander Semin was not nearly the guy he was in past years either. So it's going to be an interesting challenge for Washington with this new defensive mindset, but I do think they have enough to get out of the first round at least, but that will be where the road ends.
Washington, New York, Jimmy, what are your thoughts? Do you have a pick?
I'm a big Sean Avery fan, so I'll go with the upset and pick the Rangers in 7 games.
You know, interesting.
He's a healthy scratch, right, Sean Avery?
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay, but the presence from the bench, the attitude.
Let me change that then. Washington 6.
You got to stick with the Rangers.
Okay, fine.
Realistically, it's hard to trust Washington after the last few years in the playoffs when they've had some pretty big letdowns, especially last year.
They choked last year, right, to Montreal?
They did choke last year to Montreal.
I guess back-to-back, and wow, I don't know.
But, you know, some people say they're due, but we'll see if that new defensive focus is going to pay off, because if it were to pay off anywhere, it would be in the playoffs.
I don't see them going deep. But we've talked about the Rangers and what they've had to deal with Callahan out and Gabrick as his old inconsistent self. I think Washington takes it in 5.
I like that.
Shall we move on to a epic rivalry in Boston and Montreal?
Ooh, it's quite the rivalry indeed.
Is this the best rivalry in hockey right now?
I'd certainly say it's one of them. Obviously, Washington and Pittsburgh is a great rivalry, too, but that's certainly been aided by the whole 24/7 series and the media pitting Ovechkin and Crosby against one another. But I think Boston and Montreal, they've battled in the past in the playoffs. Obviously, the Pacioretty-Chara incident has fueled the fire in terms of the rivalry. There's been a lot of trash-talking between the two, much like Mr. Mangos and Mr. Fidel. So it's going to be a great series, a lot of very passionate fans both in Boston and Montreal, and it's going to be great.
Jimmy, we've already seen the debate get pushed back because of this series with Montreal. And obviously, we know about the Pacioretty incident. We know about Chara not getting suspended and the Montreal fans not taking too kindly to that decision. How crazy are you expecting things to get once this series goes to Montreal?
I think maybe from the first few games it might be a little bit crazy. But I haven't seen any games between these two teams. But seems like they hate each other pretty much, so you might see a series that goes to 7 games. And I'm going to go with Boston just because they have home ice.
A year ago today, if you would have told me that this series will feature two of the best goaltenders in the league, I would have said Tuukka Rask versus Yaroslav Halak.
That's a great point.
But instead, we have Tim Thomas versus Carey Price in a matchup of two goalies that will contend for the Vezina.
Yeah.
Carey hasn't been the best in the playoffs in his career, but Timmy hasn't been great either, right?
It's true. Montreal's hopes pretty much rely completely on Carey Price. If he comes out and can steal a few games for Montreal, that'll give him a chance over Boston, but their defense isn't nearly as strong as it has been in the past, losing Andre Markov and Josh Georges, two of the linchpins there, although it did pick up James Wisniewski during the season, but Boston's very strong on the back end. They're a much bigger, more physical team, and I think that'll ultimately pay off in the first round.
Boston or Montreal, Jimmy?
Did you say Boston, I think? I think Boston. 7 games, I guess.
Yeah, sure. I'll take Boston in 6 games.
I have Boston in 7 as well. I actually have Boston. Oh, we'll talk about this later. We'll talk about Stanley Cup predictions. No hinting.
Let's not give anything away.
No giving anything away here. Tune in. You broke some news earlier, Aaron, just a few minutes ago about Sidney Crosby.
Yes,
care to share?
Twitter is abuzz that Sidney Crosby may be a game-time decision for Game 1 of the playoffs. I find that a little hard to believe, considering he has yet to be cleared for contact practices, but it certainly does provide a little insight into the possibility that Crosby may indeed be returning for the first round, which would, needless to say, give Pittsburgh a huge boost. He is the best player in the NHL.
I don't buy it.
No, me neither.
I think some of it may be his posturing, kind of keeping Tampa off balance, but I just don't see it. They've been so non-committal about a timeline for Crosby's return almost since the injury occurred. So I don't know. I just don't see him coming back in the first round. Maybe in the second round if they make it that far, but will they make it that far, Aaron?
I don't think so. Again, it hinges on Crosby, much like Philadelphia's chances hinge on Pronger, maybe not to the same extent, but Crosby is the best player in the NHL. And although Pittsburgh was very strong down the stretch, they were 13-4 in their last 17, I still don't see them having enough scoring scoring firepower in order to counter Tampa's big guns, Stamkos, St. Louis, Le Cavalier, Simon Gagné.
With Crosby and Malkin out, Pittsburgh is losing 373 career goals, 617 career assists. So those are two of the best players in the game of hockey. We know that. But the Pittsburgh offensive weapons that you mentioned just now, they've struggled a little bit too, especially Stamkos, who only has two of his 45 goals in the last 13 games. So he's kind of finished the season off slow, and he's going to be making his playoff debut. So do you trust a young guy like Stamkos enough in this situation?
See, I love Steven Stamkos. This is a guy who's one of the purest snipers we've seen since maybe even Brett Hull. But it is kind of hard to trust these guys like Stamkos, who have never proven anything in the playoffs. But if there was someone I would be betting on, it would be Stamkos. And then you have guys like St. Louis, Le Cavalier, Gagné, Ryan Malone, who are proven playoff performers. And of course, in net, you have Dwayne Rolison, who carried Edmonton all the way to the Cup in, I'm going to say, 2006 is my guess for that year. But yeah, Tampa Bay has some proven playoff performers, but then again, so does Pittsburgh.
Can Pittsburgh take this series without their big guns, Jimmy?
I don't think so. You know, actually, I think Tampa Bay's a fourth seed, right?
Yeah.
I have a feeling that I've seen Tampa Bay play a little bit. And I know they're a young team, and I'm going to go and say that Tampa Bay is my sleeper team for the playoffs, and I pick Tampa Bay to win not only the series, but go to the finals as well.
Really?
Yeah. Wow, that's a very bold prediction. I like Tampa Bay to win this series only because, I want to preface this by saying if Crosby returns, I might change my tune. But Tampa Bay, I'll take Tampa Bay in seven only because they have more scoring power up front.
I have Tampa in six. I foresee them having some difficulties past the first round, though.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Normally, when we talk one seed versus eight seed, we're talking blowout. We're talking potential sweep. But then moving over to the West, we have a series that has a lot of intrigue going into it with the number one seed Vancouver Canucks versus the defending Stanley Cup champions Chicago Blackhawks. Is this a potential upset?
See, I actually have an interesting stat. In the three previous times, the defending Stanley Cup champion has met the reigning President's Cup trophy champion, which Vancouver is and Chicago is, of course. The winner of that series has gone on to win the Stanley Cup. So that might bode well for the winner of the series, which I expect to be Vancouver. Vancouver has improved their team from the last 2 years when they've run into Chicago, and obviously Chicago was markedly worse, losing Bufflin, Versteeg, Ladd, Antti Niemi. The list goes on and on for Chicago, as well as they're missing Dave Boland, who's out with a concussion, who was pretty much essential in shutting down the Sedin Twins last year. So I'd call Vancouver in five or six games.
Chicago's a very different team than we saw last year. 10 members of the team that won the Stanley Cup are no longer with the Blackhawks. Jimmy, can they upset Vancouver?
Well, didn't they beat them 2 years in a row?
2 years in a row.
So maybe a third time's a charm for Vancouver to win this series. So I think it'll be a long series, but I'll go with Vancouver in six.
It's going to be a great series to watch. Anytime you have the star power on Vancouver's side, the Sedins and Kessler, and you look at Chicago with Taves, Kane, Sharp, Hossa, just the star power in this series is something to
Who's your goalie right now, Chicago?
Corey Crawford.
Who's
so
last
year? He's a rookie.
Okay.
And Antti Niemi is on San Jose. He carried them to the Cup last year.
I have Vancouver in six, and when we talk about Vancouver, like you said, we're talking about a team with lots of firepower, but a team that has underachieved, to say the least, in the playoffs over the last few years. San Jose, a very similar type of team. They have 5 60-point scorers, but they've also had their troubles in the postseason and are now taking on a banged-up LA Kings squad. What are your thoughts on that series?
Well, I foresee San Jose shellacking here. I think they're going to take out the Kings pretty handily, maybe in four or five games. LA without Anze Kopitar, who is their number one center and by far their best player, will be very light on offense, especially alongside Justin Williams, who's also injured with a separated shoulder, who may or may not be playing early on in the series. But San Jose, I just feel that at one point they're gonna make a run, and I feel like this is their year. 5 60-point scorers on their team, a proven playoff performer in Antti Niemi in goal. Their defense is a little sketchy, but I really like San Jose, not only in this series, but to make it all the way to the Western Conference Finals and meet Vancouver there.
San Jose, LA. Jimmy, prediction?
Every year we see San Jose being the one or two seed, and they never come out of the Western Conference, and that's major because of Joel Thornton, right? He's like one of the worst playoff performers or whatever. But it looks like it's the Battle of California here, huh? Los Angeles and San Jose. I'll go with the Kings in this one.
Wow.
In seven games.
Do you want to bet on that one, Jimmy?
You want to?
Absolutely.
How much?
$500.
Wow. I can get my money back or lose more.
All right. Well, we'll discuss after the show.
Okay.
A proven playoff success, the Detroit Red Wings, are banged up a little bit. They've struggled down the stretch. And for the second year in a row, they play the Phoenix Coyotes, who gave them some trouble last year. Do they give them some trouble again this year?
So this is one of my trendy upset picks in Phoenix. I have a few reasons for this. Number one is Henrik Zetterberg's questionable health. This is a guy who left with a suspected knee injury in the second last game of the year and has not skated since. I suppose he walked into Joe Louis Arena with a knee brace on and was limping noticeably. So that could be very, very bad for Detroit. He's their best player, or him and Datsyuk, obviously. But Zetterberg in the playoffs in the past has been great. Also, you look at the head-to-head matchups during the season. Phoenix was 2-0-2 in those games. And, yeah, last year they won seven games, and it was a very hard-fought series between the two teams. I expect this is the year that Phoenix takes that jumps over the hump and takes out the Red Wings.
I really hate agreeing with you. I really, really do. But
I like to hear it.
Red Wings aren't the same team we've seen in the past few years. They're weaker defensively, and I just trust Brizgalov a lot more than I trust Jimmy Howard.
Yeah, Howard is very, very sketchy right now. Injuries and just poor play has plagued him all year.
These guys went to seven games last season?
It was six, wasn't it?
Six or seven. I feel like it was seven.
Maybe. I think Phoenix had home ice though, right?
Yeah, Phoenix did have home ice
last
year.
Oh, they don't have home ice this time.
Is that going to cost them?
I don't know. I always like the Coyotes for some reason. I don't know. Maybe because
you got to take Detroit. We can't all be in agreement here, Jimmy.
Really? I like picking underdogs. You know what? I'm going to go with Phoenix in five games.
So we got a sports radio trio of Phoenix backers here. I like it.
I have a feeling we might disagree on this one because this might actually be the best playoff matchup. I think this is the one I'm most looking forward to because we have two very different teams in Anaheim and Nashville. We have one team, very strong goaltender in Rene. And the other team has been on fire, Anaheim has, over the last couple weeks. But their goaltending situation there's some uncertainty there.
A precarious goaltending situation for Anaheim. Of course, Jonas Hiller, their starter for most of the year and in years past, has had vertigo, which is just causing him some trouble in net. And Ray Emery, who's the guy who's supposed to fill in for him, is also injured now. So they're going with Dan Ellis, who they acquired midseason. And obviously Pekka Rinne is one of the best goaltenders in the NHL, so I'd give that a huge edge to Nashville in this case.
Wait a minute, Ray Emery's still in the NHL?
Yeah.
He's back, baby.
Since when? When do you guys ever watch Anaheim and Nashville, first of all? The games are like 10:30 at night.
Yeah, we're Nighthawks here. We love sports. You got to stay
Anaheim and Nashville, though?
What time do you go to sleep, Jimmy?
I don't know, 11? 11, 12? I don't watch hockey late, especially.
Well, now that
Nashville and Anaheim.
Now that we know you are very familiar with the Nashville-Anaheim series, who are you taking?
I'll go with Nashville, just because...
Are you both taking Nashville?
No, you talked about the contrasting styles between the two teams. It's true. Anaheim's very top-heavy with guys like Ryan, Corey Perry, likely Hart Trophy winner, Ryan Getzlaff, Team Solani. And Nashville is just more of like a team-oriented scoring. Everybody chips in, but I think Nashville's defense is vastly superior to that of Anaheim with Shea Weber, who could very well win the Norris, and Ryan Suter, also an excellent
defenseman. This team is in the playoffs every year, Nashville, but they lose
in the
first round.
They have never got into the first round, so I don't know if this is the year. I would give it to Anaheim just because they were so hot down the stretch. Corey Perry, 30 points in his last 11 games of the regular season. I can't stay away from that type of heat. I'll go Anaheim in seven.
I have Anaheim in six, but if Dan Ellis ends up in net for the entire series, I'm a little concerned as far as how far they can go. With one of those other two, I think this team could go far.
Yeah, Hiller especially. This is a guy who stole many games in the Olympics and the NHL. This is a proven
stud. Is that the guy from Switzerland?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That guy's
good. He's great. He's great, but he has vertigo, and nobody really knows how he'll respond to that, how he's responding to treatment now. He has been dressing as the backup, which I guess bodes well for his possible playing in the playoffs, but I don't know. It doesn't sound too promising.
Give me your Stanley Cup prediction. Aaron Korolnik.
It's a very difficult one here. I'm going to go with the San Jose Sharks lifting Lord Stanley's mug.
Over?
In June, over the Boston Bruins.
Okay. Jimmy?
Okay, I'll make a bold prediction
here.
Oh,
God.
And say the Tampa Bay Lightning win the Stanley Cup over the, let me see, who's in the Western Conference?
The Oilers?
I'll go with Phoenix.
Oh, gosh.
Ooh. Tyler Bane,
you're probably the only person on the face of the earth who predicted such a fun.
Hey.
But who predicted Butler and who they play again? I forgot already. UConn. Butler, UConn. So who knows? Who knows?
I'm going to take the Vancouver Canucks.
Oh, very bold.
Winning the West and losing to the Boston Bruins in the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, I think my Western Conference finals is San Jose, Vancouver. I'm pretty set on those two teams. And in the East, I like Boston as one of the Eastern Conference finalists, but I'm not really sure the other team. But I do like Boston. And San Jose, Vancouver will be a hell of a battle, that's for sure.
We know Boston fans are very, very prideful. Is that a word?
Full of pride.
Full of pride when it comes to their sporting teams. But they don't have much to cheer about these days when it comes to the Boston Red Sox, who have started off the season, what's their record these days, 2-9?
Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
2-9. They've gotten swept by the Indians. They had a big win against the Yankees with Beckett going the distance. But then now they've lost two in a row to Tampa Bay, who have also started off terribly.
Did David Price get the win yesterday?
He did not.
Damn it. I haven't been fantasy baseball.
Stop going to sleep at 11 o'clock.
How did Danny Heron treat you yesterday, by the way, Josh?
Oh, not well. Not well. I thought the Indians, we'll talk about the Indians too, actually. I want to know who is the most impressive team or the most surprisingly impressive team to start off. We have a bunch of teams that have kind of exceeded expectations earlier on with the Orioles, the Indians, and the Royals. Who are you most impressed by?
It's an interesting question. The Indians' pitching staff has really been impressive. Guys like Josh Tomlin and Carlos Carrasco putting up good starts. And also
Justin Masterson.
And your boy Justin Masterson. Yeah, but the guy who's really surprised me so far is Asdrubal Cabrera, who's coming back from the broken forearm last year. Already has four home runs, leading the AL in home runs from a shortstop. Guys like Travis Hafner, who's been a stud in the past, looking like he may turn back the clock to 2006. So if those guys can regain their past forms, they get some good pitching, who knows what can happen in the AL Central.
As you know, I love the Orioles, but the AL East is a tough one. As you mentioned, the Central, a lot more up for grabs. I don't see the Royals maintaining what they've done just because this is a team that's building for the future. We're going to see some young guys coming up, most likely in the next couple months. But Cleveland's been impressive. I don't see any of the three maintaining this. Although, every year we have a surprise team that comes out of nowhere, shocks some people.
It's just the pitching on both sides doesn't have the proof is in the pudding a lot of times. And
did the Rangers pitching have the proof last year before they went out and got Cliff Lee?
That's true, but still had Cliff Lee and some other pieces too. So, you know.
The AL Central is pretty weak. I don't see it as strong, so you never know. Cleveland could be in it. I had this team finishing dead last, and great start so far.
Still very early. Yeah, 5-game winning streak puts it all back to rest. So,
on the flip side, which team has been the most impressively terrible so far? Cardinals, Braves, Twins, or the aforementioned Red Sox, Jimmy?
Has to be obviously the Red Sox. Going back to who they signed, they got Adrian Gonzalez, Carl Crawford. This team is stacked, and look at them. It was a very slow start, 2-9. Obviously, it's a long season, but you got to be scratching your head for the Red Sox so far. You got to know what's going on with that team. So, yeah, Boston.
Red Sox are probably the popular pick there, but you look at the Cardinals, and obviously the Pujols drama going into the year. Wainwright goes down. Carpenter has some health issues in spring training. Is this a team that you're surprised by with their 4-7 start?
You got to also remember Matt Holliday was out with the appendectomy, and he's a absolutely essential cog in that lineup. But as you said, Carpenter got lit up by Arizona last night. He gave up 8 runs in 4 innings, and their bullpen, led by Ryan Franklin, now a member of your fantasy team, thanks to Giannis Bunkus. But the Cardinals, I think they'll be in that by season's end when you have guys like Pujols and Holliday.
And?
Colby Rasmus.
And?
John Jay.
And?
Ryan Terrio.
And?
What?
Who am I missing?
What's going on here?
Yadier Molina?
Is it true that Lance Berkman, a.k.a. Elvis, has hit 3 home runs this week versus your fantasy team?
That is correct. I did forget about Lance Berkman. I try to get rid of him in my memory. I don't want to think about
Listen, the more you discount him, the more you piss him off, the more home runs he's going to hit against you this week.
I'm
predicting 2 tonight.
2 more home runs for Lance
Berkman. 2 more home runs.
And Josh, you're wrong. David Price did get the win yesterday.
What?
David Price.
Oh, okay.
Oh, David Price. Sorry. I thought you meant Lester.
No, Price.
Oh, yeah, they sound very similar.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, Price. Well, let's hope Lance Berkman, maybe he's due for a day off tonight. Berkman's due for a day off. I don't like to see him in the lineup. I see him hit any more home runs, I don't know if I'll be able to stand it.
Coming up, we've already previewed the NHL playoffs. We'll preview the NBA playoffs, or what we know, going into Wednesday afternoon. But first, I give you Jimmy Mangos starring in our very own Mangos Minute. On Friday afternoon, Jimmy, Manny Ramirez decided to retire from Major League Baseball from the winless Tampa Bay Rays at the time, instead of serving the suspension that was handed down from Major League Baseball for reportedly failing a drug test during spring training. Jimmy, have you ever been caught doing something that you shouldn't have been doing?
Well, that's the risk I usually take almost every day, you know, when I'm in my room. But I don't want to go too much detail with that. I've been caught with a few things. I've been caught lying, I've been caught cheating, I've been caught stealing. Most recently, I think one time I was supposed to go out with one girl, and this is when I was going out with some other girl at the same time, and I ran into that girl at that same time at the movie theater, which made me very embarrassed. But other than that, I think the closest to where I've been caught was my mom catching me doing something I shouldn't be doing when I was 16 years old in the basement.
Yo, man.
Yo.
Open up, man.
What do you want, man?
My girl just caught me.
You made her catch you?
I don't know how I let this happen.
But who?
The girl next door, you know? I don't know what to do.
So it wasn't you.
All right. Honey came in and she got me red-handed, creepy with the girl next door. Picture this, we were both butt naked, banging on the bathroom door. How could I forget that I had given her an extra key? All this time she was standing there, she never took her eyes off me.
Oh, you think I go home and access to your villa? Trespass on the weakness, all of your clean on your pillar. You better watch your back before she turn into a killer.
Beautiful, Jimmy.
Very articulate.
No, it wasn't.
Sorry, I'd just like to revisit the NHL playoffs for a second and give a shout-out to the Toronto Observer's coverage of the playoffs. We here at Centennial Coverage will be providing game overs and previews for each and every series for the NHL playoffs, so make sure to check out the Toronto Observer's websites for all your NHL playoff needs.
Looking forward to it.
Should be great.
I just want to touch on Manny Ramirez for a second without Jimmy Mangos' own guilty pleasures.
I didn't want to go too much detail with that, obviously.
Please, yeah, spare us.
Are you surprised by any of this, or is just Manny being Manny?
Well, you can't help but be surprised when you hear a guy like Manny retiring. He was 1-for-17 to start the year, which was obviously not a very good start, but I guess he knew that he had tested positive and was going to be suspended, so that was lingering on the back of his mind. So in that case, you can't really fault him for his slow start.
The way that his career has ended, or is ending, is that going to give him difficulties when it comes to a possible Hall of Fame bid, Jimmy?
I think so. And I was watching TSN the other day, and even Dan Shulman said that Manny Ramirez has no chance of making the Hall of Fame from what he's done. How many times has he tested positive so far?
Second time.
So, yeah, I don't think there's no way Manny Ramirez gets into the Hall of Fame, especially the way he ended his career.
His numbers are fantastic, 555 career home runs, which ranks him 14th all-time. He's 18th all-time in RBIs, and his career batting average ends off at .312. That's assuming we don't see any more of Manny Ramirez. But obviously, he's had his trouble in Boston, his behavioral trouble, and now a couple times with the performance enhancers. Do you believe he's going to the Hall of Fame?
So I think absent the performance-enhancing drugs, Manny is as clear a shoe-in for the Hall of Fame as there ever was. You can make the argument that this guy is one of, if not the best right-handed hitter in the history of baseball. This is, if you take the performance-enhancing drugs out of the equation, it's a guy with the 9th-best slugging percentage of all time, ahead of guys like Joe DiMaggio and Rogers Hornsby, two of the best to ever play the game. He's also finished top 10 in the AL in OPS for 12 straight seasons. So,
how can you say he's a shoe-in, though, to be in the
I said absent the performance-enhancing drugs, right. He's a shoe-in if this is a guy who was never associated with this type of stuff. But that being said, I think that will be a large impediment on his resume. But again, I don't think he's a guy that was on the fence. A guy like McGuire's on the fence, but if you take his performance-enhancing drugs into account, he goes on the wrong side. But Manny is so clearly on the right side of the Hall of Fame fence. I don't know if the performance-enhancing drugs are going to be enough to take him away.
We're going to attempt to preview the NBA playoffs now. We don't have the full picture.
Finally.
We don't have the full picture with a couple games going down tonight, which would be Wednesday, that are going to make a huge difference in the Western Conference. But we do know the Eastern Conference picture, so let's go through that. We'll start off at the top with the number one team in the Eastern Conference, and now maybe a team that will finish with the best record in the NBA in the Chicago Bulls, facing the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah, the Bulls and Pacers. Actually, Jimmy Mangos wanted to bet me $100 that the Bulls would sweep the Pacers.
Which I did
contemplate taking because...
There's a possibility the Pacers can win one game. I mean, they've beaten the Bulls this year already in Indiana.
Yep.
It's true. But
they've beaten some good teams this year, too.
And yeah. Joakim Noah looked to aggravate his sprained ankle last night. So
he hasn't been playing well lately either.
He's playing hurt, but still, the Bulls are far too talented. I think Derrick Rose, 1-on-5, could probably beat the Pacers, so... I wouldn't be too worried about that, Mr. Mangos. Bulls in 4 or 5.
Now you don't know, huh?
I might actually take that bet.
Oh.
The sweep?
I'll be shocked if Indiana wins a game. I'll be really shocked. I think this is one of the worst playoff teams of all time.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
I don't think so. You got to look at the Atlanta Hawks. Remember back then they had like 30 wins or something like that?
2007 Atlanta Hawks were 8 games under 500. These Indiana Pacers right now are 7 games under 500.
Very close.
8 under.
But the Hawks
tonight.
Did take the Celtics in 2-7 games in that first round where the Celtics went to the finals and won it, I think.
They did.
That's true.
Yeah, so you never know. I hope this doesn't happen with the Pacers and Bulls.
Yeah, the Conseco Fieldhouse will be rocking in game 3 and 4, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, a sweep certainly does seem likely, if not 5 games.
Okay.
Let's talk about Boston for a second, because they're going to be playing the Knicks, which you would think would be a pretty tough draw, because the Knicks have been impressive over the last couple weeks. Obviously, they have the major, major firepower there with Carmelo Anthony and Amari Stoudemire. But I don't know if the Knicks match up well against Boston. I think they maybe would have rather play the Miami Heat, who they split the season series with. They haven't beat Boston yet this season.
It certainly appeared that way with Boston resting the Big Four against Washington last night or two nights ago.
I don't think you could tell them that you can call them the Big Four anymore. Watching how they've been playing lately.
It's true. Boston's been struggling. We haven't seen good games from Rondo in a long time. Ray Allen scoring is significantly down.
This team cannot rebound, my friend. They cannot rebound.
And obviously, the loss of Kendrick Perkins. They're going to need a guy like Shaq. Jermaine O'Neal has been starting recently at the 5, and he hasn't been looking all that spry like old school Jermaine. So Shaq, Big Baby, Jermaine, they're going to need to really step up in the playoffs.
Is Shaq even going to be back?
It sounds like Shaq's going to be back for the first round, yeah.
Wow. Sometimes even with the biggest of buildings, if you remove just one small brick from the bottom of said building, it might collapse. And that's what's happened here because Kendrick Perkins was a key part of the foundation of this team. And it just looks like they're thrown off since the big trade.
It's absolutely true. And there's been reports that Rondo is really, really displeased, was really displeased with the trading of Perkins. And that seems to have affected his play. This is a guy early on in the season was averaging 13, 14 assists. It seemed he was just putting up crazy assist totals every single game. And whether or not it's something to do with his injury or just general disappointment that his boy Perkins was traded, he's been really struggling, and he's a very important part of that offense.
Jimmy, do you believe New York can take down Boston, or do you believe the best is yet to come for the Knicks
in
future seasons?
I think in the Eastern Conference, this will be the best playoff series in the Eastern Conference. I just think Carmelo will go off in a couple games and win them some games. I think this series will definitely go to 7 games, which I think Boston can pull it off in 7.
AK?
I would love to pick the Knicks here, as I did talk about their good, if they had a, they have. I did talk earlier in previous shows about the Knicks and if they got a good favorable matchup like in Boston, but I can't bet against the Celtics and their experience in the playoffs. I'll take the Celtics in 6 games.
So this is the most exciting series for you, Jimmy, right?
Definitely. You mean you got superstars Carmelo and Amari versus Garnett and Pierce and Rondo?
I'm more excited for Orlando, Atlanta, actually.
Really?
The
4-5? Boring series, I think.
I don't know about that. Like, Atlanta has struggled going into the playoffs, as we've seen in the past, and obviously they've had their struggles in the playoffs in the past, but this is a team that's had Orlando's number this year, winning 3 out of 4 games in the season series. We know they have the talent, and the question at this point is, does Orlando have enough behind Dwight Howard as far as talent goes and as far as the front court goes that they can not only win the series, but go as far into the playoffs as they hope to?
It's a very tough question. Yeah, as you said, behind Dwight, they're pretty thin back there. But you know, I really don't see Atlanta being able to contain Dwight at all. Al Horford's not a natural center. He's not going to be able to handle D12 and his beastly nature. So, and of course, you guys like Jameer is playing really well at this point in the year. Jay Rich and Turkoglu are playing pretty decently. So I would say Orlando will be advancing. Although Atlanta did win the season series, I believe.
3-1.
So. 3-1, so that says something.
I got the Magic in 5 games. I think it will be a quick series. Atlanta just way too soft for me when I see them play. There's no way they can contain Dwight Howard for a 7-game series. So Magic in 5 games for me.
I got the Magic in 7. I have them moving on, but I don't have them moving on much past that, if at all. I don't think they're going further than the second round, just solely because when you rely so much on one player, especially a player like Dwight Howard, who's a big man who could so easily be taken out of the game with foul trouble and whatnot, it's so tough. And they don't have enough behind him as far as Ryan Anderson, Brandon Bass, all these guys that would have to fill in for Dwight Howard if he got into foul trouble or if he loses his composure as well. We've seen that numerous times this year.
I think 18 or 19 technicals on the year for Dwight.
I question his leadership. I do.
Yeah, I think you have to, especially when you've you guys have been suspended in a crucial game already for getting too many technicals this year, and that's something about his leadership, as you said. But I completely agree with you. I like Orlando in 6, but their road will end after the second round.
Exactly. By who?
I don't want to give you any credit there, Jimmy. But we must say that Jimmy Mangos did bet a few Centennial College classmates that the Bulls would get past the second round.
Yep.
And it's looking pretty good for him.
Slowly getting my money back from the money I lost at the casino, so hopefully. No.
Not to mention your Super Bowl bet lost to me.
Oh, of course. $50.
Miami-Philadelphia. Philadelphia have a chance in this series?
As much as I would like to say they do, they don't.
No, they don't.
I think the Knicks would have had a better chance.
Yeah, Miami should consider themselves very lucky that they ended up with Philadelphia here. Philadelphia hasn't beat them this season, whereas New York has matched up well with them. Because they're a similar team, right? They have a few namely players and then questionable depth.
It's true, they are similar in that respect, but Philadelphia, although Drew Holiday has been beasting it up recently.
The team in general has struggled.
Yeah, that's true. Iguodala has been playing hurt. He's taken the last few games off, or actually last game off, and is not going to play tonight, supposedly. But then again, you know, Miami, they have looked a little shaky at times during the course of the year, but it's pretty safe bet that they'll get past the first
round. They won't sweep Atlanta, though. I say Atlanta wins at least one game at home against the Heat.
Philly.
I mean, Philly, yeah.
Yeah, I think that Philly could maybe steal a game.
You want to make a bet on that? Whether there's going to be a sweep or not?
How do you still have money left, Jimmy?
He's betting with house money. He's asking his mom for some money.
Never.
Let's try and get through the Western Conference here. We don't know a lot. We know San Antonio is locked in at 1. 4, 5, and 6 is most likely decided with OKC at 4, Denver at 5, Portland at 6. We have the Lakers and the Mavs battling for that number 2 seed, which will come down to the Lakers versus Sacramento tonight on Wednesday, Dallas versus the New Orleans Hornets. The Lakers do have that tiebreaker there, so they are most likely in that second seed. It would take a Lakers loss and a Dallas win to bump Dallas up. Do you see Dallas finishing in second?
I hope not, because I don't want to see my Trailblazers face the Lakers in the first round. No. But I think it's pretty safe to say the Lakers will take out Sacramento tonight. Sacramento's playing without Tyreek Evans, who is out with an ankle injury. Lakers will be playing all their big boys with Gasol and Kobe, and I'm sure they'll take care of business
if
tonight.
If Kobe gets one more technical, he's going to get suspended for one game.
So he's got to behave himself.
Yeah. For next year, though, it doesn't carry
on. Doesn't count
in the playoffs?
No. Okay, lucky.
The Lakers will play most likely New Orleans, but Memphis is a possibility. Now let's talk about the Lakers, because they played last night. They beat San Antonio, who were resting most of their guys. Realistically, they have that number 1 seed locked up, so they didn't need the game, not nearly as much as the Lakers did anyway. And Andrew Bynum goes down again with the knee injury. Deja vu? Is this something that we should be used to seeing? Is this something that's going to cause the Lakers a major problem once playoffs develop?
Well, anytime you hear the words Andrew Bynum and knee mentioned in the same sentence, any Lakers fan is going to cringe. But the reports after the game were that Bynum was okay. It was just more of a precautionary measure that he came out. But it did look a little sketchy. His knee looked to be contorted in a little awkward fashion. But it seems like Bynum's going to be okay, and it's pretty obvious that he's an essential piece of the Lakers puzzle.
The Lakers have had no problem with New Orleans this year, sweeping them 4-0. I think that they would consider themselves lucky if they end up with the Hornets and the struggling Chris Paul in the first round. Memphis with the injured Rudy Gay might be a decent matchup as well, so I don't see them having any trouble in the first round. But without Bynum, if Bynum is out for an extended period of time, they could run into problems once they face OKC, maybe Portland, San Antonio, Dallas, etc., etc., correct?
Yeah, absolutely. The Lakers have not been playing well down the stretch. Even that game last night, the Spurs really gave them a run for their money. And the Spurs were playing without Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker, and Antonio McDyess as well. So that's four of the eight or nine members of the rotation that weren't even in the lineup last night. And the Lakers could barely take care of them at home with all their starters in play. So I think that certainly bodes is a little sketchy for the Lakers, but it's a team that always gets it done in the playoffs.
But you know they could still finish fourth. There's a possibility that not only Dallas can pass them, but
they have the tiebreaker
over Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're in second or third, and they would take a Dallas win and a Lakers loss for them to.
I'm
fall
sure the Lakers will win tonight and finish second, which would leave Dallas and Portland playing in the first round. Is that correct?
Yeah.
That is correct. What an exciting matchup that would be.
I think everybody in this booth can agree that Portland will be victorious in that series.
I would take Portland.
Yes, absolutely. Portland is a deeper team.
Season series split, and Portland has won the last two games against Dallas.
All right.
They've been beasting a little bit since the Gerald Walsh
trade. Do you think we
should
start spending our money now with our Portland Trailblazers futures bets?
Maybe we should.
Is it time to make finals predictions for NBA championships?
We still have two series left.
Which?
OKC and Denver. Many people are looking forward to that. Are you looking forward to OKC Denver?
Sorry, I got excited. Denver against Oklahoma City, right?
That's the only or. That's the only series that's locked in.
We all know
this
Thunder will win like at least five games in that series.
Lots of people are loving Denver since they've shed Carmelo Anthony, and they've been playing good, consistent, unselfish ball recently.
Yeah, Denver's been playing great since the Melo trade. Guys like Ty Lawson, you see his 10 threes in a row the other day? Then he launched up a 50-footer to break the record he could have had. But Denver's been playing great, but still, I feel there's too much talent in OKC, and the home court will be a deciding factor. Guys like Durant and Westbrook will get it done for them.
You need star power, I believe, to win in the playoffs, at least to beat a team with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. I don't think Denver can do it. Any upset possibilities in the 1-8 matchup with San Antonio going up against Memphis or New Orleans? Most likely Memphis.
See, it's interesting because San Antonio, they have been resting their guys. Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker are well rested, but it's really too bad that Rudy Gay is not in the lineup for Memphis because I think he could be a real difference maker. But even with Gay in the lineup, I don't see San Antonio falling in the first round, but I don't see them advancing much further past that round anyways.
I see them getting through the first round, but second round against the Thunder, I don't see them beating them.
Jimmy, I hate to do this to you, but we're going to save finals predictions for next week. Is that okay?
Damn it. Fine.
You have a week to think about it, though.
I don't have to think about it.
I think Jimmy knows who he's going with so far. Right?
With 2 minutes left in the show, we're going to throw it over to AK for a quick Masters wrap-up.
All right, so the Masters concluded this past weekend with Charles Schwartzel, the South African, taking down the green jacket. But I think the real story of the Masters was Jason Day's wife. Now, Jason Day was making a series of putts down the stretch, and CBS cameras continually flashed to his rather good-looking wife many times. But Adam Scott was also great down the stretch. But most importantly for golf fans, Tiger Woods was showing the Tiger roar of old, and that's something to be excited about if you're a golf fan because everyone loves watching Tiger on Sundays. And if he had only made those two eagle putts, the short eagle putt on 15, and he had another one on 8 that he missed as well. So I think it bodes well for Tiger's future. He seemed to have the old Tiger flair back on Augusta, and I hope we see him winning some tournaments soon as it's been best for everybody involved.
Half a minute left. Are you looking more forward to the NBA playoffs or the NHL playoffs? More forward?
More forward. I'm looking forward to the NHL playoffs. It's a rite of passage for me. But I do love the NBA playoffs, of course.
Jimmy, I guess there's no question there.
Obviously, 100% NBA playoffs for me.
And we'll talk about both playoff seasons next week once we get underway a little bit, and we'll preview the race a little bit more as it approaches day
the race
by day.
You're dead, George. I got you, George. I got you, George.
Don't forget to follow us at SportsJax on Twitter. Follow Aaron Korolnik at Aaron_Korolnik. Follow me at JLou_sports. Jimmy Mangos.
Follow me on the streets.
On the streets of the SOG.
See you next week.
You should see I make the gigolo flex. As somebody else in favor, you in a the complex. Seeing is believing, so you better change your specs. You know she have a bring a whole lot of things from the past. All the little evidence, you better know for mass. Quick by your hands, no off it up. But if she back a gun, you know you better run fast.
But she caught me on the counter.
Wasn't me.
Saw me banging on the sofa.